Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Friday, February the 10th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very fun-filled weekend. Certainly a lot going on with all these centennial events. We'll address that later in the program. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing this program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network partners in Douglas. Cochise County residents listen to us on 930 AM KAPR, and in Gila County and Globe, Eastern Arizonans choose our program on KJAA AM 1240. We stream the show live on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you miss a particular program, we archive all the programs on my website as long as, and also 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening of the program on buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Fridays, we get things going with the Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today, we welcome Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Joining me to question Mr. Carroll, Jimmy Vogel, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and we welcome you to join in the conversation as well. You can call us in on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy and Ray, how you both doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing great, Bill, and Splendido sounds like a great place to retire. It would be Splendido, I'm
sure. Well, thank you. Yeah, put a little plug in there for Splendido. Right to the point here, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ray, you and your colleagues on board against Rosemont. Tell me something. The supervisorial races, all five supervisors are up for re-election in 2012. Will this turn out to be a referendum on Rosemont?
Well, I plan on carrying out a campaign that talks about all the things that I've been able to accomplish. I know that during the years it's tough to walk around and be known for taking credit on a bunch of things. Campaigns, it's necessary to walk around and start taking credit for some of the good things that Pima County has done. Will it be solely about Rosemont? I don't believe so, or at least I would hope not. It would be more about what we do in Pima County and especially in District 4, to try to look after the taxpayers' dollars, to try to improve the quality of life, to look after the safety, health, and welfare of the Pima County constituents that we represent in each district. But certainly there will be an impact felt, maybe the first time locally, especially in southern Arizona, of a corporation like Augusta Resources getting involved in local politics. At least that's what I hear the rumor is, and I'm certain that if the financial forms come out and bear this out, then it'll probably be a well-known fact exposed by newspapers like the Tucson Weekly or the Citizen.com or the Daily Star.
Speaking of Rosemont, obviously, you know, first of all, I should say for the record that the Weekly is actually against Rosemont as well. So just so the listeners know that. But tell me when a lot of – Rosemont has a lot of Republican support, especially up in the State House, locally in the business community, a lot of the Chambers of Commerce. Not all of them, but some of them have come out in favor of Rosemont. When you're at a gathering and you're talking to one of your fellow Republicans who's in favor of Rosemont, what do you tell them? Why are you so opposed to it? And you actually, you know, speaking of giving credit, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing here for some of the voters, you actually led the charge, in my opinion, on the Board of Supervisors to really get them to finally take that stand against Rosemont, because there was some waffling there for a while. So what do you tell them? Why are you so opposed to Rosemont?
Well, thanks. It's a great question, and I'm happy to give it. They're about jobs, jobs, jobs. The Chamber of Commerce people, some of the business people from our community have been very strong. I mean, approaching family members of mine, my children. It's kind of a sad state
of
politics. Well, certainly. I have a lot of family in town. They'd like to, get to the bottom of why I oppose, because it is to them only about jobs, 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 and money. And to me, it's about the long-term sustainability, and especially in the water, potable water resources of southern Arizona, being especially in Green Valley, the retirement community. That's where the water, Community Water Company of Green Valley, has struck a deal with Augusta Resources or Rosemont Copper to sell the 1.7 billion gallons of water that they need each year. The deal was done rather hastily and without any public exposure. It was a non-transparent transaction. And in the end, that really charged up the Green Valley community. There had to be 80% of the people down there now understand that this is a fight for their potable drinking water on the promise of cap water replacing it. Now, ASARCO uses cap water directly to their mine site. Not always. They do have it, though. Rosemont or anybody building a mine in the Santa Ritas cannot depend on cap water being this consistent money-making part of their program. The cap water is not a reliable source and not a guaranteed source of water for their machinery. It's not just that it's hard on their machinery. Remember, in Pima County, when they delivered cap water directly to the homes and it hit the heating devices of a dishwasher or a water heater or any other type of an equipment, it froze up the machinery, burst pipes, etc. So they'd rather use potable groundwater. They decided it would be at the expense of Green Valley. They'd take that groundwater, and then they were in for a fight because obviously the people in Green Valley educated the others in Corona de Tucson and Vail, Sarita, about what this is about. If they're going to talk jobs, let's just bring it water onto the table, because like you know, in the West, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. Jimmy Bogle, do you have a follow-up question about Rosemont?
Well, speaking of fights and I don't know about speaking of whiskey, but I always like to speak of whiskey. But anyway, in terms of politics, later online at TucsonWeekly.com today, we're going to have a story by Mari Herreras about the fact that it looks like you're going to have a very well-funded primary opponent, a guy by the name of Sean Collins. I actually don't know a lot about him, but I do know who's behind him. I know that Rick Grinnell, who's been a lobbyist for Rosemont, even though he sometimes tries to say he's not a lobbyist for Rosemont, even though it said it on his website. That came up during the mayoral campaign. And some others, they're going to be behind him, and we're hearing that he's going to have a heck of a lot of money. So talk to a little bit about that and what you're expecting out of this.
Well, I'm guaranteeing that I'm in it. I'm going to announce my candidacy on Sunday.
Why don't you just do it right now, Ray?
All right, Billy.
I mean, come on. What's the difference?
Let me announce right here on the Buckmaster Show at 12:14.
Yeah, 12:13.
Thank you.
Yes.
Already cutting right to the chase. I'm going to announce right now that I'm running for supervisor, and I'll take on all comers. I'd like to guarantee that your audience and you and all the others that listen to you, that this is going to be a civil race, I would hope, from my perspective. I'm going to try to keep it on the issues, but obviously there is going to be some well-backed opposition. It's not a rumor. It's a fact, and I guess Mari Herrera dug up the story, and she's going to present it on your weekly dot...
TucsonWeekly.com.
Weekly.com. Thank you so much.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Ray Carroll, perhaps you are very outspoken in favor of the Rosemont mine, you can call up and let Mr. Carroll know that. Or if you're against the mine and joining him in his opposition, let us hear from you as well.
And on a third possible category, how about just that the mine's not their number one issue?
Yeah, well, what?
They either like or dislike the politics I've shown for some other reason. I mean, it's just like certainly the company has gone to political ends to try to get their EIS sped through, to try to get their other permits. But the permits from Pima County are just a very small fraction of the numbers of permits that they really needed. And I'll be honest with you and all the other members, even my priest, that I didn't interfere with the process of their permit applications. I have been an outspoken opponent of the mine for the reasons that all the EIS studies have vindicated me on. Water shortages at the tap in Green Valley, big deal to the people in Green Valley. It would be to you, too. Obviously, the transportation issue, the transportation of Scenic Highway 83, big, big problem. And then lo and behold, the state now says they're going to subsidize with a big expansion of Highway 83 above all other projects that had been in the pipeline. It came in out of nowhere. So,
it's
like
now
you
moved
said,
to the top.
It's a very disturbing fact that there are a lot of people in power that would like to expand their power by seeing this expedited process come to a mine permit for them. But frankly, I think the people are probably a lot more either interested in their groundwater or not interested as this being the only issue in the upcoming campaign.
Sure.
How about air quality?
Of course, the air quality, transportation, there's the big top three. The air quality, the transportation, the light pollution for all the astronomers that are in town, plus the optics industry, light pollution and the damage it could do to the mirrored telescopes just in the Mount Hopkins Whipple Observatory are very costly.
Let's go now to Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan has a question about some of the previous mining operations for Ray Carroll. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, that was my question. The Rosemont spokesmen are constantly talking about what great condition they're going to leave the land when the ore is gone. I would like to know where we could go visit some of their previous mining projects and see what condition the land is in and how the people in the vicinity feel about Rosemont.
Okay, good question, Dan. Thank you.
I think any one of us could answer that. There are no previous projects.
Yes.
There are none on the books, and this is a process that they say is going to use less water. These processes have been used by mines down in the rainforest, which not as humid, where it is more humid, not as dry as we and arid as we are here, and there's not the winds there. Like the winds in Sonoyta, I don't think they ever stop blowing. If you've ever been down there, Elgin and Sonoyta have a wind that continues and is very unpredictable. And when that wind blows around Green Valley, sometimes that wind comes up, it certainly blows a lot of dust. And they can say that, you know, it was an accidental emission, but it always gets the attention of the state DEQ. It always gets the attention of the state officials, because that's the ones that are responsible for it. And in the end, it's cost the mines a lot of money. They've been good neighbors. Freeport, McMoran, and ASARCO are actually good neighbors to Green Valley. We inherited them. They were there before the community, and they've managed to get along. But it's a challenge for anybody to begin to say that Freeport or ASARCO would make a claim like Rosemont has when it says how they're going to be more environmentally sound.
1218 on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 for Ray Carroll. Why don't we take a break right here? We will be back with Ray Carroll as we continue with the Friday Focus on Buckmaster. Stay with us. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, and both Jimmy Bogle and myself had a long list of questions that we were going to address with Mr. Carroll. It's just not going to happen because people want to talk about Rosemont and the issues there. And so why don't we go? David is up first. Let's go to David now on the Buckmaster Show live line. David, you're with Ray Carroll.
Yes. Yeah, my name is David Lutz, and I just want to bring to your attention and the listeners that the federal government took away our right to share Colorado River water and gave it to other states. This happened years ago. We only have conditional use of that water, and if there's ever a shortfall, they take it out of our water before they touch anybody else's water. And according to the scientists, all agree that our climate, with or without global warming, is going to get hotter and drier, and Colorado River is going to go in this deep decline. And when that happens, we're going to lose our Colorado River water. People aren't aware of that. And we should not be approving the Rosemont mine or any other water-intensive development until we resolve this issue and get our water rights to our share of Colorado River water fully restored.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, obviously, the Colorado River water, the lakes are way down in the reservoirs. There's a lot of straws in that water, and it was supposed to be originally for mining and agriculture, but it's found its way into many communities like Las Vegas and Phoenix, and you name the number of straws that are in there. And obviously, you and I, David, and other people are concerned about the long term. We're concerned about the health of and the sustainability of communities who have been living here, paying taxes, and they're under the threat in the EIS, it's described, of water shortages at the tap. And this guarantee of saying, oh, we're going to make good for it with this so many gallons. The mine wants to use 1.7 billion gallons of water a year. There's no way that they can guarantee a potable recharge that's going to replace that at this time.
Ray Carroll is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Ken, you are up next on the Buckmaster Show. Ken, we're quickly running out of time. Give me your bottom line question or comment for Ray Carroll, please.
Right. First, I want to just thank Ray for articulating his problems with Rosemont. I'd like to know if Rosemont is trying to come up with some alternative approaches to counter what Ray so well articulated.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Go ahead, Ray.
Not to my knowledge, Ken. Good question. Obviously, my door's open to everyone. I've read all the studies. I've paid attention during this process. This is my full-time job. is to monitor the process and understand the best I can the motivations of Rosemont or Augusta Corporation at this time. They've made no alternative suggestions other than the potable groundwater, and it's about the yield for their stockholders. They feel that they have to get this type of a guaranteed resource at that this time to make their stock viable, and their continued process requires money for more stock sales.
I just want to give the Rosemont folks this much. You can't see with my fingers that I'm holding up, but this much credit. It's not a lot, but a little bit of credit. If anyone is really on the fence about this issue and wants to understand it, I highly recommend Rosemont Tour offers – Rosemont Copper is offering – tours, at least they were last I checked still, and I'm pretty sure they still are, of the mine site, which they'll actually take you and they'll drive you up and they'll show you around, and they will take you right into the middle of where this massive pit is going to be. And, you know, they'll show, and they, you know, they try to put their spin on things, of course, about how many jobs it's going to create and, you know, how they're going to be good stewards and how they're going to make it kind of sort of not really look like almost a mountain when it's done. But I have to give them credit, and I highly recommend if anyone wants to better understand this issue, take the tour. It'll really, really open your eyes. Even if you're afraid of the spin you're going to get from the Rosemont folks, just like I said, when they take you to right where the pit is and they you look around, it's really, really eye-opening. So I have to give Rosemont credit for at least offering people the chance to do that.
Well, I've been on the tour with John Kyle when he was here in town a few years ago. They might have tweaked it one way or the other, but I had a staff member go on the tour last year. And obviously, it was a politically charged episode, even though that they didn't know she was on my staff at the time, so I had a full report, not a recording or anything, but just
oh, man,
full,
I want to hear that recording.
No, not a recording. I wouldn't do that. but it was just a full report of that. It was a very politically charged kind of a direction that they were going and that they wanted you involved to get involved in this process, which is one of their biggest efforts. It's been so public relations driven,
yes,
and not technology or sustainability driven. And that's where you begin to say, okay, now they're going to focus on politics, and that's what they're going to get involved in, local races. The very first time probably since the 50s that a copper company will get so, especially one that has absolutely no solid constituency here. Yeah.
And of course, we do want to mention that those who are in favor of Rosemont, that would be the Tucson Chamber leading the way. Mike Varney is scheduled to be our guest here on the Friday Focus and the Buckmaster Show 1 week from today, and he will be talking about Rosemont and the benefits that he sees from the jobs. About the jobs, what about job loss that could come from Rosemont?
Well, it's been documented. There's been some reports that a university professor out of Montana, Tom Powers, did a very, study that was, I thought, independent and frankly came out with there's going to be a big percent of job losses, whether it's Sonoyta wineries or the stakeout or the ranches that Dude Ranches, et cetera, through that area. The astronomy, there's a lot of people threatening to leave. Raytheon, quality of life issues and viewscapes and places where Raytheon employee lives are going to be affected as well. So it's not just pie in the sky that it's all going to be these great jobs and they're coming. You have to really look through that facade and say, what losses are we going to experience because of this new, very devastating environmental mine that's going to be placed by possibly the Forest Service. We were just talking at the break about the Forest Service and the possibility of this coming through.
And we had Mr. Huckleberry, Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, on our Buckmaster Show last Friday. He said, and I think I'm quoting Mr. Huckleberry right, if this bond legislation that is being proposed up in Phoenix passes to change the way bonding is done to a new six-member board, Mr. Huckleberry said it will be the end of bonding as we know it in Pima County. And you mentioned Raytheon. He said that Raytheon officials are not at all happy about this particular new board that could be created.
I'm sure they're not. I think it's a board that's weighted to the minority. And it's purely political, so we'll see how that evolves. But in the end, I can say that there's not going to be a bond election this year or next year. The economy is still recovering, showing some signs. Obviously, the green sprouts that were predicted 2 years ago only came last year, and we're beginning to see some of the fruit of the vine. So we're happy to see the economy recovering. I, of course, am trying to settle a tax dispute that we had with the assessor and Raytheon to help them stay happy here.
Okay, Ray Carroll, thank you very much. The half hour just flew by. Jimmy Bogle, thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy sticks around for the Friday Reporters Roundtable to be joined by Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah is in the building. She will be taking the seat as Ray exits, and we'll get going with the Friday Roundtable. Ray, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Republicans in the House less than thrilled with the president's new policy on birth control coverage. Texas Republican Kevin Brady calls it a full-scale retreat by a disconnected president. One of the most conservative Republicans in the House, Ohio's Jim Jordan, calls it a fig leaf compromise. The Prime Minister of Greece is promising that his country's recession will end next year if the government accepts debt reduction deals necessary to clear the way for a new bailout. The man who killed two U.S. airmen in an attack at the Frankfurt airport in Germany last year has been convicted of murder, sentenced to life in prison. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 127 points, 12,763. The NASDAQ is off 23. The S&P, 12 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Every Friday afternoon, we present our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who talk about the top stories of the week. And this week, there are a lot of top stories. Joining me on the roundtable, Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. We always welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040. Want to remind you the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. We now welcome Sarah to the microphones and the Reporters Roundtable. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. And Jimmy sticks around from our interview with Ray Carroll. And Jimmy and I had all sorts of questions ready for Ray Carroll.
Yes.
As you know, we're always very prepared here, had our lists, and folks wanted to talk about Rosemont. Well, what we want to talk about right off the bat is the special CD8 election. The candidates keep lining up on the Republican side. There are now five on the Republican side. And Ron Barber, the district, longtime district officer for Gabrielle Giffords, made his announcement now that he is going to be involved in the CD8 election on the Democratic side.
He did indeed. He has been Gabby Giffords' district director running
director
things.
Director was the word I was looking for.
Locally in the district.
Yes.
And for a long time. And he also has a long history of public service in other capacities in his – in his work life, career-wise, and as a volunteer. He did declare to run for the April
17th.
I'm sorry, the 17th, which is the primary.
You help me with the office director. I'll help you with the date.
Okay.
17th.
And the general election is for June 12th.
Oh, okay.
I think Matt Hines has stepped out of that. So Ron Barber will be the only one, at least as of now, on the Democratic side. And then we will have the cast of thousands on the Republican side. They will duke it out for the primary, and then the general election will have Barber versus – presuming no one else steps into to it on the Democratic side. But if Gabby is giving her endorsement to Barber, which she and her husband Mark Kelly have done, I honestly can't see another Democrat saying, I want to take that on.
I really think it's going to be Barber's race to lose, both in the primary and the general election, because first of all, you've got Gabrielle Giffords behind him, and Gabrielle Giffords is probably the most popular politician in the country, beyond the state. And that's going to help out, number one. Number two is this is going to be a very strange and weird and short, because April's not that far away, Republican primary. And you've got some – how can I put this diplomatically? Personalities –
strong involved
in the Republican primary with Frank Antonori and Jesse Kelly, and who knows what we're going to get out of Martha McSally and some of these other folks. Dave Sitton, of course, who's
yeah, Dave
got
was
a
with
lot
us
of-
yesterday on the program, and now there's also here's his name, John Lervold. He is an Army interrogation specialist down at Fort Huachuca. He is also in the race.
So we know who will be finishing fifth.
Yeah.
That was unfair, but
no, that's all right. You said it, not Bill.
But the point is that this is going to be a bruising and short Republican primary, and this is not only is this going to affect the race for Congressional District 8, this is going to affect the race for the new Congressional District 2. As we pointed out in the Skinny this week in the Weekly, you know, there's going to be four or five or who knows how many Republicans who might be interested in this come later in the year for the new CD2 that are going to be losers in this primary. And so that this totally changes the dynamic for the whole election this year, both in terms of CD8 and CD2. But I really think it's Ron Barber's election to lose. If he has the stamina to do it and he comes across as well on the campaign trail as he has doing everything else he's been doing, especially over the last year with his campaign, the Civility Fund, it's going to be interesting to see.
And then the Martha McSally joining the Republican race.
Yes, she has quite a military background.
First woman in U.S. history to fly fighter combat for the Air Force, first to command a fighter squadron in combat.
Yes, and she also sued the federal government over its requirement that female officers or personnel and stationed in Saudi Arabia wear the veil, and she won on that. And so she has a wealth of military experience. I think she can match up well against Frank Antonori with his military experience, as well as Mr. Lervold from Sierra Vista. Jesse Kelly, I think, touts his military experience. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So she is no slouch in that area, and she comes across very well.
You know, what's interesting, Sarah and Jimmy, when, the more candidates you get into these primaries, we had the congressional race. I think it was the first time Raul Grijalva ran for Congress. There must have been 13 or 14
right.
candidates, because I hosted a TV debate, and I remember, I think, in the hour long, I think each guy, each had enough time to say their name and like one or two sentences about what they do. But it's going to really carve up the vote here, and someone like a Dave Sitton might be sitting in pretty good position.
He could be. I think it's going to be a case of people are going to gravitate toward the fiery personality of Jesse Kelly or Frank Antonori. If that's what you like, you have two choices to choose from there. If you like
– On the fiery side.
On the fiery side. Mm-hmm. With Dave Sitton, he's much – his persona anyway is much more relaxed. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but much more of an even
tempered,
heel
even
kind of guy.
It's certainly relaxed compared to Jesse Kelly and Frank Antonori.
Yeah,
I think that's
so
a fair
the thing
word.
Is there's going to be several flavors to choose from depending on what kind of Republican you are and what kind of candidate you want. So it's going to split the vote, I think, in the primary, and then it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top to go head-to-head with Barber in June.
Well, also, I think the two things are going to play into this are number one, name ID, which Martha McSally definitely has some catching up to do. But number two is money. And from what we've been hearing, there have been no reports that have come out yet. But from what I'm hearing, Dave Sitton's got some people with some money behind him, and that's really going to help him out. And people like Frank Antonori, who may have been anticipating for more support, aren't necessarily finding it because of Jesse Kelly in the race, because of Frank's abrasive personality at times. So I think those are going to be two of the big factors. But, you know, the more people in it, it might benefit a Dave Sitton. It might even benefit a Martha McSally, because she's going to have, you know, she's the only woman in the race so mm-hmm. far. And you can't argue with her credentials. I mean, you know, she's a fighter, that's for sure.
Ron Barber at the news conference yesterday, he was questioned repeatedly about, well, if you do win this special election, what about the next election, which is coming up in the fall? I mean, he has to make a decision by June about the next election for the CD2 race. And I think some Democrats were hoping that Ron would say, I'm just going to go for the one, the special election.
Right, to be sort of a placeholder
yeah.
until you got to the general election. But he made it clear that he is no placeholder. He is not someone
And he left the door open for the CD2 race.
He did. It's a different district that will be happening in when people go to the polls in November. So with a slightly different cast to it. But he left the door open, and he made it clear that he's not interested in just going to Washington and sitting in a chair and, you know, keeping it warm for the next person. So he is a very thoughtful, can-do kind of guy. And he's not flashy. He's not in your face, but he is very firm and solid. So I think that's the kind of candidate that he's going to be. And whether or not he continues on for the general will be up to him.
And Jimmy, I don't think it's beyond – well, I think another candidate certainly could jump in on the Republican – another candidate or two could jump in on the Republican side.
Well, you're talking about CD2 or CD8.
I'm talking about CD8.
You never know at this point. You know, I think that the one thing that might keep this from becoming a complete and total free-for-all are two things. Number one is Ron Barber. I think a lot of people are going to be scared of him. But number two is this is a really short amount of time to get a campaign together, to get the signatures, to raise money, to come up with a campaign form. Anytime there's an open open congressional seat. It's you know, fresh meat. And that's what we saw when Jim Colby retired and we had the free-for-all on both the Republican and the Democratic side in 2006. And, you know, when Raul Grijalva ran first, as you were mentioning earlier.
12 or 13
it's,
candidates.
I think the one thing that might keep it down or the two things are going to be Ron Barber and just the short time period. I mean, you know, the primary election is going to be here in 2 months. That's insane.
Yeah.
Moving on, I had, another stack of stuff to talk about besides CD8, but it certainly seems to be capturing everybody's attention, that race. Sarah, your editorial today in The Star, Governor Brewer should prepare her veto pen for use a second time. We're talking about the bill allowing guns on campus. What's the crux of your editorial?
Basically, that this is yet another attempt to get gun proliferation throughout the state of Arizona, and I argue in the editorial this morning that any sort of argument that guns on campus in the hands of faculty members, students, anyone, is not going to keep campus safe. It's not going to protect people, and it's not going to do what proponents say, which is, oh, well, if a shooter comes and starts opening fire, everyone else will be armed and they can shoot the shooter and everything will be marvelous. Or, and I mentioned this in the editorial, what Senator Ron Gould, who is a main proponent of this brilliant idea, is that that if someone is seeing someone being mugged, you can whip out your gun and run and save the day. Well, I went back and checked, and according to UAP Police Department statistics, there are very, very, very few. I think it was 3 robberies in the past 3 years, and a handful of
four,
and a handful of
10 aggravated assaults.
Aggravated assaults, and that's reported to the police. So that doesn't even mean that there was an arrest or a conviction, but. My other point is that if lawmakers were really, truly, honestly interested in making campuses and the entire state safer, there are other ways that will be more productive. Have a ban on the extended clip magazines. Make it more difficult to get a gun. Make it more difficult to pass the background check. These are concrete things that lawmakers have refused again and again and again to take up, and instead they foist this idea that if everyone's carrying a gun, clearly we'll all be safer, which is just a fallacy.
Well, I've said it before and I've said it again when it comes to these gun issues. You know, even if you can buy into their arguments, is this really the thing that we need to be focusing our time on and our efforts on introducing legislation on? No. This state has got so many issues and so many problems and so many ways in which it could be advanced for good, and allowing more guns on campus, it's solving or causing a problem that isn't there. And I just don't know why our state legislature insists – I mean, I know why, but I don't agree with them insisting on making this a priority year after year after year after year with these idiotic gun laws.
And I should say that I teach over at the U of A in the School of Journalism, and I've taught there for almost 10 years. And I've asked students, what do you think about this? And they don't want it. They are – we get into heated discussions about things. There are people who – I mean, I'm not suggesting that everyone who carries a gun is some sort of criminal or just waiting to go off. But what I am saying is that there are situations on a college campus where grades are involved, kids' scholarships, their futures. Things can get kind of dicey. And so if there is a situation where there is a weapon easily at hand – it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone who in another circumstance would never stoop to that would turn to that as, well, you have to do what I say because I have a gun. Or there's just the potential there. Students have said that they wouldn't feel comfortable voicing opinions or raising issues if they think the person who vehemently disagrees with them may or may not be carrying a weapon. It's just something that doesn't need to be there, and it doesn't advance learning at all.
I know you were doing your job in writing the editorial, but I just wonder how much this will have any impact on Senator Ron Gould.
I'm guessing as much as I would love for everyone to go, well, that is the best written editorial I have ever read, and I am utterly convinced. I'm guessing, given the track record here, that the people who agree with him are not going to be swayed. He's certainly not going to be swayed. But what I am hoping is that people who don't think this is a good idea, who oppose it, will pick up the phone, send an email, and let their legislators know that what they're doing is not what the public wants.
Got about a minute to go. Jimmy, I want to touch on Rio Nuevo. What would the roundtable be if we didn't talk about Rio Nuevo? And apparently Rick Grinnell, a member of the board, he says, according to Rhonda Bodfield's story in The Star today, that Rick is quickly reaching his tolerance limits when it comes to this mediation that's going on between the city and Rio Nuevo board. It just does not look good for the two sides coming out and singing, what is it, Kumbaya?
No. And, you know, they're trying to keep all of everything involving mediation secret, which I personally have a problem with because these involve my tax dollars being a City of Tucson resident, and I want to know what in the heck is going on with them. This whole process is just a mess. The Rio Nuevo board is a disgrace.
It's a mess.
What they've done to the Rialto is appalling. I don't like them.
Yep, we got to go. Jimmy Bogle and Sarah Garrett Gasson, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Centennial weekend. Have a good one. Yeah. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next. Stay with us on The Buckmaster Show.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
That weekend always is upon us on a Friday when we hear that music. It means get out by the pool and get ready for a big weekend. And this is a big weekend with Arizona's Centennial. It is time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. And Matt is sporting a muscle shirt today with the Arizona flag and a pair of very, very forgiving waistband-oriented sweatpants. So he's ready to party for the Arizona Centennial.
Elastic always finds its way into my belt. Bill, you absolutely have nailed it. I am an Arizona Patriot through and through, muscle shirt included, my friend.
What's going on? I know downtown is really going to be rocking the Tucson Centennial celebration, set to coincide with Second Saturday's downtown, which is a big event in itself. So now we've got a 3-day happening.
Yeah, I mean, the timing could not be better. It's going to be a glorious weekend downtown as we prepare to celebrate our 100th birthday here on Tuesday, February the 14th. But the whole thing really gets started just in a few hours, Bill, starting today at about 4 o'clock. With a 1912 American flag-raising ceremony at the Jim Click stage on 6th and Pennington. And there's going to be scores of activities following that. Live bands, performances at the Rialto Theater, at the Fox Theater, at the Tucson Music Hall. And, of course, food has to be there for me to get excited about it. And there's going to be this huge congregation of food trucks representing every ethnicity imaginable, specials on downtown restaurants all over the place. There's really too many events to mention on this segment today, so I'd encourage all of your listeners to go to secondsaturdays.com. You're going to get a robust list of all the Arizona Centennial activities that await you all weekend long.
And you'll be very visible down there. I'm sure we'll see you in your attire.
Count on it.
And, of course, we've got Valentine's Day coming up February 14th, which is the official statehood day. So it's time to start thinking about a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, it really is. You know, this is taken from my off-the-beaten-path file, Bill. You know, when you think about celebrating Valentine's with your special someone, you always include dinner for two at one of Tucson's great restaurants, and we strongly encourage all of our listeners to go find their favorite restaurant and enjoy that special moment. But for those that are looking for something just a little bit different this year, we recommend a Sweetheart Sunset Trail and Wagon Ride.
Wow.
And that's actually happening tomorrow night, Saturday night, at the Colossal Cave Mountain Park. And, Bill, this includes a Western cookout with dinner prepared just for you and your loved one on mesquite grills. Just a fascinating and unique way to spend a romantic evening on a horse-drawn wagon and this great Western barbecue. All the details are at banditoutfitters.com. I thought this was a great event for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can smell that steak on the grill and those cowboy beans. Oh, boy, it sounds terrific.
And maybe my cowboy boots will match the muscle shirt. I'll have to try that one on this weekend.
Just be careful where you step, my friend. Four Corners Festival at Skyline and Campbell, they're going to join in the fun.
Yeah, the Four Corners area of the foothills is going to really come alive this weekend. Of course, as you said, that's right on the corner of Skyline and Campbell, the intersection there. Great food, wine, and shopping are on each of the Four Corners. Saturday from 10 to 5, and Sunday from 11 to 4, there will be food and wine tasting featuring the great Four Corners merchants. Now get this, $20 is going to get you a tasting ticket to sample food and wine from more than 10 different restaurants at each of the Four Corners. I like Acacia, Tavolino, Shlomo and Vito's, some of the restaurants that are going to be out there providing samples. This sounds like a great way to spend the weekend. Beautiful weather for food and beverage enthusiasts alike.
You will not go away hungry, I guarantee it. Matt Russell, have a great Centennial weekend.
To you as well, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Matt Russell.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part also by Flowers Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger, RIEGER.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of the lovely and talented producer Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend, and we will be back with you Monday, noon to 1 on KVOI, The Voice. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.